We've worked in about 80 countries. We've worked with thousands of human rights defenders. And the aim is always to turn a personal story of abuse into a powerful tool for justice. So my name is Yvette Alberding-Tijm, and I'm the executive director of Witness, which is a global human rights organization based in Brooklyn. Witness was started about 20 years ago by the activist and musician Peter Gabriel. He traveled on the Amnesty Human Rights First Tour, and he was traveling in countries with a very big, old, clunky video camera. And he started talking to people who had suffered human rights abuses or had seen members of their family killed. And he realized when they filmed their story that once that story was on film, that it could no longer be buried or forgotten. And that's what started Witness. And then shortly after that, the Rodney King incident happened in America, which is where an innocent bystander filmed the police beating up a man. And it all of a sudden put the handy cam on the map. And with the realization that video can be such a powerful tool and it changes the equation in terms of documenting human rights violations, Witness was started. So what we do is we partner with grassroots groups because they're the ones who know the issues best and they know the solutions best. And we support them in understanding how to use video to document their stories. And then what happens with these videos is we help them think strategically about who are the people who need to see that video for change to happen. So it's always aimed at creating policy change or behavior change. Some of the changes that Witness has actually been able to affect in its partnership with a local human rights group in the Congo was aimed at stopping the mobilization of child soldiers. Congo has gone through a very brutal civil war, and the militias were recruiting children to become part of the militias. So what we did is we worked with a local organization called Ajedika. We had the children tell their stories of what happened to them after they were recruited. And that video was used in Eastern Congo to go from village to village together with community organizers and show what happens to these children, to children once they became soldiers. And it helped really educate families because they were volunteering their children into war because they didn't realize that it wasn't a good thing. The other way that video was used is to lobby the International Criminal Court based in The Hague in the Netherlands to arrest Thomas Lubanga, who was a Congolese warlord that was actually one of the perpetrators who was recruiting children into war. And he's now standing trial by the International Criminal Court. That was a successful effort, and that was a shared success because obviously we were not the only ones who were working at it, but it was a major success. Technology is an incredibly powerful tool when you put it in the hands of people on the ground who are trying to create human rights change. 20 years ago, the dream that Witness has was what if every human rights defender would have a camera in their hand, what would they document and what could they change? And today, with video-equipped mobile phones and devices in the hands of literally billions of people, anyone can be a human rights defender. Think about the students in Iran. Think about how they actually filmed what was going on. And these were the stories that the Iranian government was trying to repress. And the fact that everybody has seen, for example, the video of the girl Neda Sultan, who was one of the demonstrators being killed, made it impossible for that regime to deny those stories. The flip side of that is that the people who are filming and being filmed are also at more danger, because what's now happening is the images of these people are showing up in many different places. And sometimes that can actually expose people to a lot of risk. It's very dangerous for people to document. For, you know, it's one thing if you're in the US and you're filming a police officer and that person says you're not allowed to do that. It's another thing if you're in Burma or in Tibet, and actually being known to speak out can be a matter of life and death. In terms of what's continues to be a really big challenge for us, I would mention two things. One, the demand for our services is always much bigger than what we can provide. We're a small organization, we're very effective, but we're 30 people. And there's always more groups out there that we can work with than the people that we can actually serve. So we're now starting to create digital toolkits to get sort of these skill sets out to more people so they can be effective when they use video. The other thing I would say is that the world of human rights, governments and the perpetrators are also becoming very adept at using technology. So sometimes when you look at places like Burma or Iran, it can be really an uphill battle to continue to fight for freedom of expression. But the thing I do say is there's always, in the end, there's more of us. So we, you know, I think every single person can make a difference.